And I guarantee if you're expecting, if you're pulling, he'll drop it inside of you. Now, for some of you, you're going to hear this scripture and you're going, eh, I already know that. I know that because I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. You're going to hear a scripture and I want you to stay tuned on. Stay tuned on. And by the way, it's raining. Hallelujah. Shoo, that's good. Distractive mind. Here we go. So I want you to stay tuned in. And I want you just to pull everything out of this word. We're starting a new series. It's called Encounters. Not Encounters with Aliens, but this is all about Jesus had encounters with people. And every time he had a encounter with a person, I'm telling you something was there for you and I. So we're going to learn today on an encounter that Jesus had with a centurion. Everybody know the centurion story? Okay, so there's something really good. We're going to have a blast the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about all the different encounters. Well, not all of them. We're going to talk about at least four different encounters Jesus had with people and what he wanted us to get hold of that. So let's start in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you because you love us and you're a great God and you have such good things for us. And we come today and we say, my ear is open. My heart is open. God, speak to me today. And I ask you to open my eyes to understand your word. And I thank you, Father, that you have nuggets for me today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need one of these, I'm going to do something because I have been accused. I have been accused of talking too fast. All right, so I'm going to rattle off the scriptures. Later on, I'll go through them and say them. And sometimes I just get going. I just get going and I forget I'm going too fast. So if you have your card or if you need one, I got one for you. All right, first scripture, write down Luke 7. Second scripture, Luke 17, and I'll go and give you all the little nitty-gritties later, but somebody said I talk too fast. So Luke 7, Luke 17, just write that. Next one, Mark chapter 6, Ephesians 3, and Mark 11. Okay, I'm going to go slow maybe. All right. How many of you use the word amazing? Amazing. This past week, I was with my family and my son-in-law. So the World Cup soccer tournament was on. And I like soccer. I don't really understand a whole lot, but it is moving. And, you know, they say that is not a contact sport. Ha! There's a lot of contact going on. But in the conversation, one of my son-in-law said, man, it is amazing that this team made it so far. It was amazing. And then I was thinking back, amazing. I remember if I got through an entire meal with my kids little. Now, this is post-sippy cup days. Raise your hand if you know what a sippy cup is. Okay, so this was after, so they're a little bit bigger. But I would think, oh, my gosh, it's amazing. We made it through a meal without something spilling. Amazing. I'd go to bed happy. All right. Or maybe you'd say, oh, this happened to me the other day. No, this happened a long time ago. But one day I was going from West York to East York on Route 30 and I made all green lights. And I thought, man, this is amazing. And not too often, but it's amazing. Okay. Now listen to this. Jesus only had two amazing things that he spoke about in the Bible. Two times, only two times did he say something was amazing. And the first one's the centurion. So open up your Bibles. Ready? Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. See, I'm going slow. We're doing okay right now. Okay. All righty. So the first one is Jesus ran into this centurion, okay? And this centurion absolutely amazed him. And listen, think about it. It must have been something to amaze Jesus, right? It must have been something. All right. So this centurion amazed Jesus. All right. Ready? Oh, yeah. Open up my Bibles. Here we go. Hold on a minute. Jeez. You're all ahead of me. Here we go. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Okay, the previous chapter is called the Sermon on the Mount. He's got his disciples. He's got his followers. He has been talking up a storm, and he leaves and he goes to Capernaum. Okay? So there was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. Was sick and about to die. Now, you know what's crazy amazing about this part? Centurions. Does anybody know about Roman centurions? A Roman centurion was over, he was a soldier, okay, and he was over 100 guys. 100 guys. He was responsible for 100 guys, okay? And a centurion was one of the toughest, meanest Romans that they would pick. They were the toughest, they were the meanest, and they also had a terrible reputation. Any of you ever had in the past a terrible reputation? Don't raise your hand, okay? So they had a terrible reputation, and they used to do this thing called the centurion cut, C-U-T, the centurion cut. Now, the centurion cut didn't happen on the battlefield. You know where it happened? It happened any time one of those 100 soldiers were insubordinate, were disrespectful to the centurion. And you know what he would do? If you ticked him off, this isn't on the battlefield. This is like everyday Joe Schmo, everyday, you know, things. And you were just not doing what he said. He'd come up behind you, whip out his sword, and slice your neck from ear to ear. That was called a centurion cut. And listen, that guy wasn't ever rebellious again. You know why? He was dead. Yeah. Okay. So now you have a little Bible trivia. Write that down. Next time you play Bible trivia. Hey, you know what the centurion cut is, all right? So interesting. These guys were just crazy. They were mean. They were ruthless. Okay. And they were, some of the commentaries I read, they said the Roman soldiers were so fierce in battle. Not because of their enemy, but because of their officer, the centurion. So they just go, I'm not going to get called out. And, you know, so they were just wild men, crazy, just incredible because of a centurion. Okay, now let's hop on to verse 3. Well, before I say verse 3, the next part. So I've just described the personality and the character of a centurion soldier who's over 100 guys, okay? And the next part is just totally opposite because it's going to describe this centurion soldier who's full of feelings and cares about his servant. Okay, so you ready? Verse 3. Here we go. The centurion, verse 2. Let's do 2 again. There's a centurion servant whom his master valued highly and was sick and was about to die. Verse 3. The centurion heard of who? Yeah. And sent some of the elders of the Jews to ask him to come and help and heal his servant. So wait a minute. I've just described these ruthless, mean centurions. And this guy's got something different going on. He's got care. He's got feelings going for his servant. Okay. So he cares so much about his servant, so he sends for elders to go talk to Jesus. Now, elders in Capernaum would have been like the mayor and the big guys in all the synagogues and stuff and the political guys. He sends the big bunch, okay? He sends them to talk to Jesus, all righty? And this is another crazy part. These elders are going to go talk to Jesus. The centurion has asked these elders, and these elders are going to go for the centurion and talk to Jesus. Now, I got to think. He's asked elders to go for him, and these elders are actually going to go for him and talk for him. Now, guys, this is crazy because all Jewish people who lived in Israel hated the Romans, and you would too. Why? Because they conquered Israel and then they captured it and they occupied it. All right. And the Romans that occupied Israel at that time, they were mean. They weren't nice. How many of you like to take taxes from you? Well, I don't like taking taxes from me. They were taking taxes from me and then they would take even more. They just grab you on the side of the road and say, pay me this or I'm going to beat you up. Okay. So here we have some Israel elders that are going on behalf of this centurion Roman soldier? That's bananas, right? Okay. Yes, Pastor D, that it's bananas. You can say amen. I agree with you. Okay. All righty. Now, verse 4. Let's jump down to verse 4. When they came to Jesus, the elders, okay, when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. And this is what they said. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. All right, now this is interesting. So this is a centurion soldier. He's a Roman. So something must have happened in his life. Okay, he's not your Joe Schmo typical centurion at this point. He's built them a temple. Okay, now this is my theory. It is not written. I think this guy changed from being an idol Roman worshiper to becoming a Jew. Because listen, I'm not going to go build a temple for some Buddhist guys, okay? I'm not going to go build a temple, and we can name all these other things, but I'll get in trouble for saying them, okay? But I'll build a temple for believers that I believe in. So I believe, just making you think, I believe he had a change of heart, that he became a worshiper of the God of Israel. Because, by the way, you can go to Israel today and see that synagogue that he built. It's built out of stone. Now, it's not all standing, as some of it's in rubble. But to build a synagogue, it costs a bunch of money. It cost a bunch of money, and that thing's still standing. So he must have had some big changes go in. How many would you agree? The rest of you awake? Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 6. So Jesus went with them. Who did he go with? The elders that the centurion had sent. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent another bunch of friends. Okay? He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. So now I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, this guy was pretty humble. Come on. He knew he did a bunch of centurion cuts in his day. Come on. He knew he had killed a whole bunch of people in battle. He knew he wasn't the sweetest guy you wanted to bring home to your grandma. All right. So I would say he's kind of humble. All righty. Now, praise God. Let's go verse seven now. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. If you've got your Bible, highlight that. If you've got your orange card, write that down. But say the word. We're going to get into that. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this. When Jesus heard who? He heard what the centurion had said. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. This is the first time Jesus was amazed. He was amazed. Do you see that word? Amazed. Should write that on. Matter of fact, I still haven't come up with a title, so I might call it Amazed, okay? So this man amazed Jesus. He had hundreds of people following him around. He had lots of interaction, but this man amazed him. So I want to know why. Why did this man amaze Jesus? Well, it tells you, all right? Where am I? Verse 8, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. So, why was Jesus amazed by this man? Because of his great faith. Great faith. Praise God. All right, now, I want to find out through this encounter why this guy had great faith. And how I can have great faith. Anybody want great faith? Yeah, write that down. I want great faith, okay? So I want to ask myself, what is great faith? What is great faith? Because listen, it amazed Jesus. How many of you want to amaze Jesus? Okay, it amazed Jesus. And I want to amaze Jesus. And so I want to understand why and what this is all about. Now, obviously it worked. What this gentleman, his great faith that amazed Jesus worked. Because let's read verse 10. Verse 10 says this. And then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. I guess great faith has things happen. Praise God. All right. Here's the main idea. Right. Main idea. The one thing I want you to walk out of here, understand so clear that it'll just stick to you and it'll stick to you and stick to you. If you're taking notes, write this down. It doesn't take a great amount of faith. It doesn't take a great amount of faith to have great faith. Okay, it doesn't take a great amount of faith to have great faith. Now, I know in my life as a young Christian, I used to think, oh, I wish I had more faith. I wish I had more faith. Oh, I wish I had more faith. So you know what I do? I would start finding the promises of God. These are the promises of God. They're all in here. They're written for you and me. And I'd go through these promises of God and I'd start reading them. And then I would read them. And I thought, oh, if I read this promise 100 times, then I'll have more faith. Everybody go, all right. No. But I thought if I read this 100 times, I'd have more faith. And if I had more faith and I'd prayed more, then I'd have that promise in my life. But this said, listen, it doesn't take a great amount to have great faith. And when you study this subject out and you study this centurion, we're going to find out it doesn't take a great amount of faith to have great faith. All right. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Jesus actually taught about this amount business. He talked about this amount business. Amount. How much? All right. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So in other words, they're like, Jesus, I need more faith. I can't do this. I need more faith. I need more faith. All right. So, and this is now listen what Jesus says to them. The next verse, verse 6. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea and it will obey you. Can you pop that picture up there? Ta-da! All right. That's a tablespoon, guys, of mustard seeds. That's a tablespoon and a whole bunch more. That's a tablespoon of mustard seeds, all right? And Jesus is saying, when he uses this example, it's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. It's about... Oh, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So it's not about the amount, all righty? And when I look at this picture and I see, I have faith. I have a seed. Anybody have a seed? That's right. Jesus gave all of us a seed of faith, the measure of faith. I'm like, okay, I got a seed. I got a mustard seed. I got faith. You got faith. I got faith. You got faith. Okay. And I look at that and I think, wow, I have enough faith. Everybody say, I have enough faith. It's not about the amount. I have been given faith. I have faith. I have a mustard seed faith. That's awesome. All right. But you have to do something with it. You have to do something with it. Okay. So the centurion's going to teach us it's not about the amount, but you have to understand how it works. You have to understand how this seed, this faith works. So I came up with 2 thoughts today. I'll get you out of here before 12. Okay, 2 thoughts. Ready? 2 thoughts. So write this down. What do you have to have great faith? What do you have to have great faith? Because I want to know. How many of you want to know? I want Jesus to go, whoa, Pastor D, great faith. So I want to know, what do I have great faith? Number one. Faith doesn't limit God. Okay. Faith does not put a limit on God. Faith does not put a limit on God. Okay. Now, if I'd ask every one of you, Hey, every one of you sitting here, do you believe God can do anything? Everybody say, yes, Pastor D, yes, all right? And you'd say, well, of course he can. He's God. God can do everything. All right. So, but what happens if you say this? Oh, yeah, I believe he can do, but I don't know if he's still doing. Or I believe God can do, but I don't think he's going to do it for me. Guess what you've just done? You have limited God. Okay. Great faith doesn't limit God. Great faith doesn't limit God. All right. Praise God. Great faith does not put a limit on God. Now, all of you, if you've been around the block for, and some of you I've known 40 plus years, okay, you're going to hear that and it's just going to go in one ear and one out, okay? But listen, think about your life. Limit God, unlimited God. Limit God or unlimited God, all right? So faith, great faith does not limit God. Jesus has this, I'm going to move on. Jesus has this other event in his life where he's amazed for the second time in his Bible. The second time he's amazed, all right? Open up to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This is the second time. The first time's with the centurion. This is the second time. Jesus is going to go to his hometown. Everybody loves to go to their hometown, all right? Jesus is going to go to his hometown. And but up to this point, he's known around the town, all right? He has already raised the dead. He's already had blind eyes open. He's already had the deaf. He's already done all these miracles. And now, where is he going? He's going to his hometown, all right? So he's going to his hometown. He's done all this. You could say the word's been out. The word's out about Jesus. They've heard about him. They're probably tweeting all about him. Hashtag raise the dead. Whoa, hashtag Jesus. All right. There's a whole bunch of news going about Jesus. And now he's going to his hometown. He's going to his hometown and he's probably going to his hometown. He's thinking, I want to go to my hometown. I want to do what I've been doing in my hometown because everybody loves their hometown people, right? Some of you say by faith, yes, I love my hometown people. Okay. So he walks in his hometown and he actually goes to the synagogue that day. He's a good church boy. Amen. And this is what happens. He walks in and people start saying, oh, right there, you know, it's not good. Isn't that the carpenter's son, Jesus? Isn't that, didn't he build cabinets? He was a pretty good cabinet maker back then, but it's just Jesus. All right. Or, how about this? He's just a guy, you know, he's been running around town when he's a kid. Or isn't his mother Mary? Mary's nice, but she's a woman. You know, they had woman problems back then. Okay. She's just a woman. Or better yet. Oh, Jesus. We know his brothers and sisters and that one brother. Whoa, man, did he get in a heap of trouble? Do you know what they just did? Do you know what they were doing? They were humanizing Jesus. They were humanizing Jesus. They could not see Jesus as the Son of God, right? They could not see Jesus as the Son of God, all right? And because of that, Jesus couldn't be what he wanted to be. Jesus couldn't be Jesus to these people. All right. You're all at Mark chapter 6. So am I. I finally made it. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Here's how the story ends. He could not do any miracles there. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hand on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So the first time we read about Jesus being amazed was because of the centurion and his great faith. This is the second time he's amazed, and he's amazed because of what? Lack of faith. Oh, man. Okay. Now, it wasn't that they didn't have faith in the promises of God. It wasn't that. It was because they limited him. They did not see him as the Son of God. They did not see him as the Anointed One. So they limited him. All right. That's not good, is it, folks? And you notice verse 5 again? He could not do any miracles. Why? They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he could do miracles or would do miracles. So they limited God. So he wasn't able to do great things, all right? Now, here's where I am in my life, just to be flat out honest. I don't want to limit God in my life. I got a big list in my life. Anybody have a big list in your life? I don't want to limit him, okay? I don't want to stop him from moving in my life. And how about you? Do you want to limit God from moving in your life? I don't want to do that, all right? And you know, how do we do it? Well, you know, I don't know if God can do this in my life. Guess what you just did? Limited him. Or, this is bad. God can't do this. You limited him. Or, oh my gosh, it'll never change. What'd you just do? Limited him. I mean, I can go on all day on how we limit God. But I don't want to do that. Anybody? I don't want to do that. Okay? So, praise the Lord. I don't want to do that. I know you don't do that. And you know, it's real interesting. Is it Mark chapter 6 or what did I write that down? Mark chapter 9, it says, all things are possible to him that believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Are you a him that believe? Well, then raise your other hand and say, all things are possible. Okay, all things are possible to him that believe who? The unlimited God. All things are possible. Okay. You know, this Bible is really easy. Yep. It is really easy. I'm just dumb some days though, okay? So bottom dollar is I don't want to hinder God from moving in my life and people's lives and things in life, okay? I don't want to do that. Amen. Okay, Pastor D, keep moving. All righty. When you pop up Ephesians chapter 3, oh, you can open your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to have this in the Message Bible, but you write this down, Ephesians 3 verse 20. I read the scripture, but in the Message Bible, it just blows it really big. Okay? Listen to what it says. Remember, if you can believe, all things are possible. So listen to this. God can do what? God can do what? Okay, think about your anythings in life. God can do anything. God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. How many of you have big dreams? How many of you have some wild imaginations? Okay. Here's what it's saying. God wants to do more. God wants to do more for you than you can even imagine. You should write that down. God wants to do more for me than I can even cook up in my wildest dreams. God wants to do that. All right. Okay, question. What is the only thing that can stop him? Limiting him. And you're right, that's what. But if you limit him, that's what stops him. All right? Praise God. I'm going to give you this quote. I stole it from somebody else. I can't even remember. I stole it like 5 years ago. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Here we go. The size of your faith is directly proportional to the size of your God. That should be a lunchtime conversation. All right. The size of your faith is directly proportional to the size of your God. Okay? If we're going to have great faith, then I'm going to believe I have a big God. We used to sing a song in children's ministry. Okay, no laughing at my... My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Woohoo! The size of your faith is proportional to how great and big your God is. Believe he's big. He is big. He's a great God. If not, sing the song. Okay, listen. Okay, besides my singing, how many of you remember the children of Israel and the 10 spies? Okay, the children of Israel just had this miraculous get out of Egypt. Miraculous. Just, they haven't made a sci-fi movie big enough to really do it, okay? So, they've gotten out of Egypt, they've crossed over the river, and Moses says, hey, I want 12 spies to go into the land that God said, everybody say God said is ours. You should write that down. Okay? So Moses sends 12 spies into the land, the promised land, the land of Canaan, to spy out. He says, go see what you see. Go see what is that God said was ours. So they come back. The 12 spies come back. And 10 of them, everybody say, comes back with a what? Bad report. The bad report, okay? And the bad report goes like this. There's giants in the land. Okay. Fact. Guys, that's a fact. There's giants in the land. That was a fact. There's giants in the land. But then they slap the bad on the bad. And we're like little grasshoppers. They're going to stomp all over and mush us. Okay. And they said that, and they got all the people riled up, and they believed it. But the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, come back with a good report. Okay. And this is Cashman paraphrase. Okay. So, but our God's so big and mighty. But our God's so big and mighty. And they're going to be like a piece of bread. We're going to just chew them up, swallow them up, and spit them out. Cause our God is big. Two different reports. One limited to God. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. I don't want to wander. I don't want to limit God. All right, guys, let's not limit God. Okay, so in order to have great faith, to have things change, you can't limit God. That's number one. Number two, if you're taking notes, what do we do to have our great faith? Number two, faith understands authority. Faith understands authority. That centurion, he knew authority. Now, years ago, probably about 8 years ago, I was collecting speeding tickets. unintentionally. My daughter Joy was living in D.C., and I'd go down every couple of months. And listen, D.C. was like, oh my gosh, I got to go to D.C. So the first time I got lost because I didn't have a GPS, this is a funny story. Jim, I remember calling you up first time down in D.C., lost on the phone. I'm lost. And he's like, D, you live in York. No, I'm in D.C. And you and Stephen have got laptops going. Tell me where to turn. And you're going, D, where are you? I said, that big thingy that sticks up is right in front of me. And, you know, so after that trip, I got myself a GPS. I didn't get a speeding ticket then. The GPS did it to me. Don't you love? She did it. He did it. Okay, because I go down to D.C. every couple months, and I am watching that GPS. I'm listening to that GPS. I am focused on turn right, turn left, get in the left lane, turn there. But I wasn't paying any attention to the speed limit. So a couple of weeks after every visit, I would get a letter in the mail. And back then, I finally figured out. All of a sudden, I drive by, and there was this flash. Someone took my picture. Yeah, the letter said a picture of my car, my license plate, how fast I was going in a work zone. You know what that one was. Cha-chink, cha-chink, cha-chink. Okay, so you might want to ask, do I have to pay that? I live in Pennsylvania. That's D.C. Okay, what's the proper answer? I'm not looking at some people. What is the proper answer? Yes, okay, yes. I have to pay it. Why? Because there's this thing called authority. And if I don't pay that one, then I'm going to get fined. And if I don't pay the fine, you know, I might end up in jail. And that's not going to be pretty. So we have this thing. How many of you understand authority? How many of you have bosses and supervisors, all right? When they tell you to do something, you need to conform to it. That's a nice word for saying you need to do it. Okay, so you all understand authority. Well, this centurion, he understood authority. He understood authority. And because of that, he had great faith, all right? So let's go back to Luke chapter 7. Let's go back to that scripture. Luke chapter 7, verse 7. Luke 7, 7. We're talking about great faith understands authority. Great faith understands authority. Here it goes, verse 7. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. Okay, I'm a soldier. But I understand authority because I got some big guns over me. I got some generals over me. When they say go, I go. When they say go to battle and do this, I do that. This guy understood authority, right? So that's what he's saying there. That's what he's saying. I myself am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, he goes. I tell this one, come, come. And I say to my servant, do this, he does this. Praise God. So now, what he's saying is, now we've read the scripture, but listen, he's saying, I believe Jesus has all authority. And when Jesus says, your servant's healed, I believe because he has superior authority. And all he has to do is say, hey, your servant's healed. I understand authority. So I'm just going to go, yay, done, 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 right? This man understood authority. Number one, he didn't limit God, right? He didn't limit God, but he understood authority. And that's what made great faith. That's what made great faith, okay? So he understood authority. He knew if Jesus said it, guess what? Done. Done deal. He understood the superior authority that Jesus had, and he was like, done. Okay, let's go home. Let's go to bed. Let's have ice cream, right? Okay. Now, I think that's wonderful. Everybody go, wow, that's great. That's so great. But listen to this. Later on, Jesus says the exact same thing to us. He's going to say the exact same thing to us. And he later on in the Bible, he'll say, hey, you have authority. I give you authority. You take your authority. I mean, let's go from here to here. Okay. Jesus is telling us later on in the Bible. He says, I give you all authority. I give you all authority. Everybody say, I have all authority. Praise God. Okay. Now, where is your authority? Your authority is anything the Word of God says. So if you need to read this 3 times a day, you got things going on in your life, go find out. So my authority's in this. My authority's in this. And whatever this says, I can take authority and I can have it in my life. I can have it in my life. So everybody say, amen. Oh, awesome. Jesus, you're wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. This story, y'all know it, okay, but I want you to say, I'm going to get some more juice out of this one, okay? I've got my ears, I'm hungry. Mark chapter 11, Jesus is walking with his buddies, his disciples, and he's hungry. He's hungry, and the first thing he sees is what? A fig tree, and he goes up to the fig tree, and he's looking for what? Food, and there's no food, there's no figs on it, and he says, everybody say, he says to the tree, don't make fun of me when I'm talking to my computer. Blessed thing work. I'm trying to be like Jesus. It's when I say other things. Okay. But he's talking to the tree and he says, no one will ever eat from you again. He's talking to the tree. Talk to the tree. No one will ever eat from you again. All right. And his disciples are like, woohoo, his blood sugars must be down. He's real cranky today. You know, like what's going on here? But guys, Jesus is like, object lesson. He's going to teach them something. And there's actually lots of meat in this story, but we're just going to go on this one rabbit trail, okay? So they all hear Jesus talk to the tree. They all hear him say, no one will ever eat from this tree again, okay? And then they go their way, and then they go home that night, and they go to bed. And then they wake up in the morning, and they're walking around, and they walk past that tree, and they are amazed. And, you know, Peter, Jesus, look! Look! The tree that you talked to, the tree that you cursed, it's dead, and it died from its roots. It's all shriveled up. Listen, I sprayed Roundup yesterday on the weeds, and I woke up, and they were still looking pretty good. Yeah, just a couple were a little wilted. One had a little yellow in it, okay? But Jesus said to a tree, you're cursed, no one will ever eat from you. And these guys all saw it, and they're like, whoa, and they're amazed. How many of you would have been amazed? I would have been amazed. That thing is dead and cursed and shriveled up all because Jesus talked to it. All right. That's kind of amazing. It is. So this is where the object lesson goes. Next verse. Verse 22. Mark 11:22. Let's jump down there. Mark 11:22. I haven't read the whole thing. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. I'm finding it. Oh yeah. Have faith in God. So they're like, whoa. And Jesus just goes, have faith in God. And they're like, ah. Jesus goes, have faith in God. Bible translators translate this in a couple of ways. They all work. They all work. But they'll say, have the God kind of faith. I like that. Have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith, all right? Have the God kind of, have the faith of God. Everybody say that. I have the faith of God. I have the faith of God. All right? Jeez, that's wonderful. Have the faith of God. So Jesus is teaching us the same thing this centurion understood. He understood faith. He understood authority. Praise God. And the next verse 23. So have faith in God, Jesus answered, 23. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Okay. Mountains back in the Bible days. Okay. Big mountains back in the Bible day. Would you say they are immovable things to them? Today, we see a mountain. We want to put a road in. We go blow that baby up, right? And we haul everything out, right? Today, mountains aren't immovable. We got equipment that's just great. It may take a little bit, but Bible days, when Jesus is writing this, that mountain is immovable, right? The mountain's immovable. And if they had a mountain, what are they going to do? Well, I got to go around it. Or else I have to climb over it. All right? They weren't blowing up mountains. So Bible days, when Jesus is writing that, this is an immovable mountain. It's immovable. So I got to thinking, wow, man, Jesus, what are you trying to get at? What are you trying to tell us with this? You know what he's trying to say? Listen, if I promised you something, if I promised the promises, these are called the promises in here. Okay, if I promised you something, okay, you might have faith and believe, but you are going to have to release faith by saying to your mountain, mountain be removed, cast into the sea. Okay, you probably have heard, some of you have heard this hundreds and hundreds of times. But my question is, how many of you have immovable mountains in your life? I do. And I've been going around them. You know what a movable mountain is? Something I've been putting up with. Anybody been putting up with junk that should that the Bible says otherwise? Come on. Okay? So the mountains are things that we put up with, yet there's promises that says not. Okay. All right. So Jesus is trying to say to all of us, me included, you have faith to move mountains. And you can get rid of mountains by what you say to the mountain, all right? So great faith is taking, great faith has an understanding of authority, praise God. And Jesus says, I give you authority to talk to that mountain. And you can talk to mountains. And he says, they'll move, all right? But sometimes we just believe it. Sometimes, oh, yeah, Pastor D, I know that. Yeah, I know that. I've said that. Yeah. But the second part of this is you have to say to the mountain. That's part of it. Praise God. So can I tell you something? I have to get aggressive. You got to get aggressive with these mountains. Otherwise, how many of you are putting up with things? You're going around it, over it, over, over it. All right. So be aggressive. How do you be aggressive? Well, you have to say to your mountain. And then God, because we understand authority. I understand that this is his word. When I understand that, I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. Now, for me personally, I'm not looking at some of you. Okay. This doesn't come easy to me. Okay, this doesn't come easy to me because, you know, I can be a realist, a.k.a. a negative person. Anybody know that? I can be a negative person. Yeah, there are times I'm just negative because what happens? I start thinking. I'm looking at the fact, and I start talking about the fact. I start talking about the mountain. And then I start thinking, oh, my gosh, the bank account, the mountain. Okay, and get, you know, so this, I have to walk in every day, all right? And I want to tell you, you know the best people that correct me on this stuff? My kids. I have been, my mom, when I hear that tone, put your seatbelt on, baby. Mom, stop being so negative. Let's believe God. Train up a child in the way they should go when they're old enough to part. Train up your child and they'll help you in your life. How many of you training up your kids? They come and give you the word. It was great. And I just this past week, I was looking at the mountain. I was looking at the mountain because I'm looking at the facts. And the facts are numbers. And the numbers are black and white. And the bank's going to tell me what the numbers are. And I'm going, and my kid says, Mom, let's believe God for a miracle. Yeah, I remembered. So I want to tell you, this message was more for me this past week than all of you. But I thought I'd let you in on the story. Praise God. No, I'm not over yet. So how about I look at the promise and say, yes, let's move mountains. Yes, let's move mountains. And how am I going to move mountains? Number one, I have faith. Everybody have faith? I have faith. I'm not limiting God. I was limiting God, but I'm not limiting God. I'm not going to limit God. I have faith, and I'm going to say, mountain, you be removed. Mountain, I call you this thing to multiply instead of go negative, negative. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I don't know where I should finish here. All right, here we go. Oh, man. You guys, I'm going to get you out early. Don't look around. This is your assignment. Because faith without works is dead. Faith or knowledge without action is a big pile of poop. And sometimes we have so much knowledge and we don't do anything with it. And it gets stinky. And things in life are stinky. And you're going around the mountain, okay? So I'm going to give you an assignment. And I really want you to everything that happens this week, or just make sure you spend some time alone. Back in the day when my kids were little, I would lock myself in the bathroom because that was the only place that had locks. Now I got smart. There's locks on bedrooms, but that was a fun story too. So I would lock myself in the bathroom and I'd yell, just give me 5 minutes. And I would just have some time with Jesus. Okay, so lock yourself in the bathroom, whatever you have to do, and just, this is the assignment. Ready? What, write it down, what mountain is in your life? What looks immovable? What have you been putting up with that this says something totally different? What mountain is in your life? Okay. What mountain is in your life that you're putting up with? And the second part is, what does the promise say? What does God say? What has he given us? Okay. What does he say that you can take, believe, and speak? Find the promise, take it. This is my promise. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of Abraham. All these promises are yay and amen for my life. I find this mountain. I find this problem. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe it. And then I'm going to speak to the mountain. That's your assignment. Okay. And I'm telling you what, guys, this is exciting. Blowing up mountains. Come on. Blowing up mountains is exciting. And if not, if you're like, well, I think my life's just so perfect, I'll give you some mountains in my life. You can blow them up and help me out. Okay. I got mountains that need to be blown up. Okay. But y'all, there's mountains in our life. There's things. And number one, I don't want to limit God. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing God can do. Woohoo! All right. You got to sing that song and just look, read in the promises. My God. The creator of heaven and earth, the one that yanked Jesus out of the dead. I mean, out of hell. Do you think he can take one of my mountains? Heck yeah. All right. So what are the mountains in your life? Go find the promise. Take it, believe it, and say to it, mountain move. And say what God says about it. I have abundance. I'm blessed. All this, all that. Okay. I'm not telling you all my stuff. All right. But I got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm talking to my mountains. Hallelujah. Well, before I mess up anything else or go too far, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to pray over you. Praise the Lord. Father God, you are so good. You're so mighty. You're so unlimited. And I thank you. I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you for speaking to our hearts, ministering life again, opening our eyes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, I know for some people, this is the first time they've ever heard about talking to a mountain. But I thank you, Holy Spirit. You'll just open their eyes, open their hearts, And I thank you, Father, that each person in this person has great faith that amazes you. I thank you for each person's great faith that amazes you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, as we go through this week, that you show us mountains. You know, slap us if we need to be reminded we've limited you, and help us to see how big you are and what we do to have great faith. Praise God. Hey, eyes closed, still in an attitude of prayer.